I might not go into where we were last week, but I will say in what town were we last week? Does anybody remember? Philippi. Exactly. Good for you. And what mission journey is Paul on now? His first or his second? His second. It's significantly larger than the first, just to update people who weren't here or haven't been here for a while. So Paul is going significantly further on this trip. And last week we were at Philippi, where we saw there wasn't even a synagogue. And the place he went expecting to find a place of prayer, we saw that not only was it Paul's custom to go to the synagogue on Sunday, when he went there, he was expecting to find a place of prayer. And part of the things we look at is, what do you go to church for? You know, this is like our synagogue. We go here to see God. What do you go to church for? Are you expecting to find a place of prayer? What is prayer? It's when we talk to God, reach out, and commune with God. So those were some good examples. And then we saw that there weren't even any Jewish men there, just the women had showed up, but that didn't stop God from starting a church. And then he chose these women. That was the first place he showed up, was with a group of women, and he started a church in this woman's home that Paul enjoyed, Lydia, that Paul enjoyed fellowship with after he got out of prison, where he started another movement with the prisoners and the jailer. I can't even say that word right. So now Paul's moving on, and he's going to Thessalonica, which is, how far do you think that is from Philippi?
400 miles?
Nope. Yeah, it's about 100 miles. How long do you think it would take Paul to walk that? 3 days.
Wow.
He's averaging about 30 miles a day. Could you imagine that? I mean, I feel like a wimp when I read this stuff, you know. Yes, sir. All right. That's great. So Paul walked 10 times 3 miles each day. And it says, could I have somebody read this, please? Chapter 17, verse 1 through 9. Would somebody volunteer for that? Thank you.
Now, when they had passed through the Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ must suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envisioned, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out of the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Jason has harbored them, and these all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, "There is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason, let them go.
Okay, thank you very much. So Paul's already got a reputation, doesn't he? It says here in the scripture, they've turned the world upside down and now they're here. So his reputation is already going out ahead of him. He hasn't been to Thessalonica yet, but his reputation has. Okay, if I just want to stop for a minute and get inside Paul's head. Here is a man, I love the example that God sets forth in these men, as we're seeing the progression, the coming of Christ, the foretelling, the coming, and then the birth of the new church in the book of Acts, which is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, birthing the new church, And he's passing this on now to the apostles and the disciples, and we're seeing the church birthed and growing. And Paul is one of the great examples that God is using to show us how that occurs. Okay? This guy, he's already seen, and first of all, he starts out, he's persecuting people unto death. Okay? He's zealous. He really believes this is not right. This is not God. This is blasphemy. He was raised as a Jewish boy to believe one God, to have a certain belief system, and he does not believe that Jesus is the Christ. Okay? And he pursues Christians to death. He's not satisfied just killing the ones around him. He's leaving town to pursue them. He's a zealous guy, and God apprehends him on the road to Damascus, turns his life around, and he takes that same zeal, that same character, and he uses it towards God's objective, and it's amazing to see how God uses that in his life. This guy, wherever he goes, like Andy says, there's either a riot, a revival, usually both, and we're seeing that here. And he's been run out of town, he's been prisoned, beat. You know, they had locked him in the torture room. It wasn't for fun. His hands were shackled, and he moves right on. Okay? He doesn't get in a car and drive to the next town. He walks 30 miles a day, passes through these two towns, and he winds up at Thessalonica. Okay? What do we know about Thessalonica? Anybody know anything about that town? How many people you think are in that town? About 200,000, okay? Yeah, it's a pretty good-sized town. It's like a lot of places God chooses to start things. It's a place of commerce. It's a place of trade, both on land and sea. So there's a lot, that's what attracted the Jews there. There was a colony of Jews there. We see a colony of Jews and a synagogue, and they're there because they're attracted to the commerce and the trade, okay? A lot of people coming in and out, and kind of like here, kind of like a lot of places in cities and everything. So he chooses that place. He chooses the synagogue to start to introduce his message, and we're going to look at that. So it was Paul's custom. I like that. You know, how many people have a hard time coming to church? Be honest. Okay. Yeah, the guys who have a hard time, they're probably not here, huh? You know? But I want to tell you something. I struggled with it for a long time. When I first became a Christian, I didn't just, you know, wake up and think, man, I'm just going to go down to church and have some guy talk to me for a half hour, 45 minutes. And, you know, the worship music wasn't used to it. It wasn't an easy thing for me to do in the beginning. I didn't feel like the rest of the people here. I was used to AA meetings, and, you know, and we know that that Satan doesn't like it when we're moving towards God. He puts a fight up any time. So I just want you to know, if you struggle coming to church, it's, you know, you're not alone. I struggled for a long time till I realized the benefit that I receive here is worth the struggle that I walk through to get here. You know, and it's, I'm not ashamed to admit, there's a lot of times my wife and I are driving here, we're getting a big argument, you know, and it's no secret that the Satan's waging attacks. Don't go, you're in an argument, you can't go to church like this, you know. So these examples help me. It was his custom. Who else's custom was it to observe the Sabbath in the synagogue? Jesus. So we see Paul living out the custom and the example of Christ, don't we? We see all the apostles now that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're living out the life of Christ in their community, and it's a great example. Okay, as his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Now, the crux of my message is going to be around these two Scriptures. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures. What do you think that word reasoned means? Yes, he did. That's exactly what he did. What do you think the word reasoned means? Because that's what he did. It's a great example in it. Dialogue. That's right. Mm-hmm. There was a dialogue. See, How do we have church today? You go to church, you sit down, one guy talks to you. There's no dialogue. There's no reasoning going back and forth. He tells you what he thinks. You walk away and think about it. Maybe you agree with it. Maybe you don't. Where's the opportunity that we reason about these? Go ahead. Okay. Definitely. Observe the truth. Interesting perspective. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, sir. Interesting. I'm going to have to think about that. Thank you for that perspective. I love different perspectives. I'm glad it's not just me up here, okay? Because I'm limited. I only have a couple gifts, and the body that's represented here has all the gifts. And as the Holy Spirit's working in this body, He's bringing them up to benefit the whole body, okay? I just love that picture of the church that we see here in the book of Acts as it's represented. As I'm reading to study and to work out my gift, one of the gifts I have is teaching, and I'm working to get better at that. One of the guys I'm reading is Watchman Nee, and he's got some wonderful books, one of them on teaching the Bible, where he said, the first aspect of learning to teach the Bible is, or to even understand the Bible, is to check the condition of the man. It's not technique, it's not doctrine, it's not anything else. It's to check the condition of the man in relationship to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you living according to this word? Because it's dead if you're not. Are you looking for information to live by? If you're just searching for intellectual doctrine, it'll fall to the ground dead. These guys are living by this. Okay? Paul has had his life so turned around that he is facing torture, long walking journeys, imprisonment, because he has a message that has so lit up his life, he can't contain it. He has to bring this message to his fellow Jews. Okay, at great consequence, he can't be stopped. All right? And then what this guy was saying, that behind the words, catch this if you can, is a spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So words have a very significant meaning. But they mean something different to each of us, don't they? If you say ice plant to me, it's going to bring me right back to when I was in about 5 years old and I lived in Carmel Valley, and we lived on a hill about this steep behind our house, one of my friend's house actually, and we used to slide down that hill on cardboard boxes on the ice plant. You say ice plant to me, and I have a library of thought and memory and emotion that goes behind that word. And that's the spirit of the word for me, okay? So there's words, and then there's the spirit of the word behind it. And Paul is, I believe, the Holy Spirit is reasoning with these people and what the words mean to them and the spirit behind the words, okay? Let's go a little further here. So he's reasoning. I looked this up in the Greek because I didn't know what it meant, and I'm learning. It's okay. We don't come knowing. We come humbly wanting to learn, you know. Hopefully, I'm going to learn something every day I look into the Bible, you know. So I looked up the word, and I wonder, what's it mean? To reason. It means to discuss in argument or exhortation, to dispute, to preach, to reason with. I love that, to discuss in argument or exhortation. It almost seems like it's against Christianity to argue anymore. Have you ever noticed that? I disagree with you. Oh, well, we're supposed to be unity. We're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to all have unity. No, we're not. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to argue. It's okay to exhort someone. No, wait a minute. You're wrong. You're wrong there. The scripture says this. We're going to see how the Bereans were commended for that. They didn't take a man's word for it. They checked the scripture daily to make sure what the man said was right. The man was Paul, leading apostolic teacher, and he commended them for checking the scripture. He didn't go, oh, just take my word for it. No, he said, that's great. This is what I'm teaching. Look and see what the scripture says. He reasoned from the scriptures, not his opinion, not even his experience. I love Paul. He says, I don't come to you speaking eloquently, for I am not ashamed of the simplicity of the gospels, for it has the power of salvation. Not me. I must decrease so he can increase. Okay? Who's Jesus? The Word made flesh. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall remain. And we're equipped with the Holy Spirit. It's not just the Word. It's the Spirit, the living Spirit of the Word. And he's entrusted us with that. First, he entrusted the Jews with it. You had your hand up, Bruce. I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, I was thinking that it's not just a blind faith, that, you know, it's not just some fairy tale that believes. Actually, you have to use your reasoning to go, it's a reasonable thing that this is true. So
right.
It's not just a blind faith.
Exactly. And I've heard one of the things, if we go back to the Jewish time, one of the pictures I've gotten from a little bit of study and other men sharing, it's great that we have such a wide and rich and deep resource of men's experience that they're sharing with us. We take that for granted, being in the Bay Area. It's one of the smartest places. Palo Alto is one of the smartest places on the planet. So we hear a lot of very intelligent things, and maybe I don't even need to study. Boy, that guy did all the studying for me. But totally lost my train of thought there. It's one of the biggest challenges I have teaching. That's why I have these notes here. When I get lost, I just come right back to them. I'm ADD all the way. And it's a gift in one way because I have to rely on God for teaching. I can't do it on my own. If I try to do it, it's just dead. It just falls to the ground. So it's like, okay, I got my guideline here. I'll get back to it. Explaining and proving. Okay. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. Explaining and proving. I looked up four different interpretations of this, or not interpretation, what's the word? Translations, thank you. The first guy that discipled me said you ought to have a couple different Bibles so that you can look at different comparisons. It's just a tool, just an aid. I took his advice on that. So on things like this, I wondered, I said, well, my Bible says explaining and proving. And I got stuck on that word proving. Can you really prove it? See, I wonder what the King James says. Well, I went and I looked. It said opening and alleging. I don't even know what the word allege means. He allegedly did this. I don't even know what it means. I'm a high school dropout. I just get to look words up when I don't... What's up with that? When I don't know what they mean, I just look them up.
So that was opening and alleging.
Yeah, so the King James says he was opening and alleging. The NAS says explaining and giving evidence. And the NIV is explaining and proving. But I like the Message. And I didn't used to like the Message. My wife has the translation, the Message. I didn't used to like it because it's not the authoritative Word of God. You know, I'm one of those people who used to fall into that. But it's incredibly helpful. And I think it's, even though it's a paraphrase, it's something that comes alongside. It's very helpful. This is what the Message puts it this way. He preached to them from the Scripture. He opened up the texts so that they understood what they had been reading all their lives. I love that. See, how many people do you know, maybe yourself, you've been reading this stuff a long time. You got it underlined, highlighted, all this different stuff. You don't understand it at all. That's me. I've read so much stuff, I didn't understand it at all. You know, understanding meaning that I can tell you what it means. With authority, the authority of the Holy Spirit, which God Himself has deposited in me for that purpose. Who leads you into all truth and understanding? The Holy Spirit. Okay? That's why he was given to us. One of the great parts of his ministry. So anyway, he opened up the text so they understood what they had been reading all their lives. He wrote the scriptures. Who wrote the scriptures? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my other notes. Okay. So that's an interesting translation, isn't it? They've been reading this stuff all their lives and they didn't understand it. Now what was he explaining? And go ahead. That's right.
But here it is 2,000 years later.
And not much has changed. That's right. And not much has changed, incidentally. The more I read the Word of God and the more God's Holy Spirit leads me into the understanding of what's going on, not much has changed. Okay? We're in a community today, in our local community. Guess how many of the people in the Bay Area don't know Christ?
90%.
You walk around, you know these people every day. How many people do you run into? Hey, brother, you're my brother. Let's talk about the Bible. Yeah. Where you go to church? Man, I just went last week. What were they talking about? It's Monday. What did you learn yesterday? This is what I learned. How many people you know like that? You know a lot of people. 90% of the people here don't know Christ. We're the most moneyed up, churched up community on the planet. Okay? And how come we're not reaching them? Could it be we might not understand the spirit behind this word? Could it be we might not understand what we've been reading a long time? That we're not moving out into our communities? Go ahead.
For me, it was that I didn't have a relationship with
Christ.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now look at Paul. Look how Paul goes from killing. Look at the change in his life. Look at the change in Peter's life. Look at these guys who understand who Christ is, what he did, and how they respond. It's incredible. As I hold that up to my... Go ahead. Yeah. Sure it was. I love Paul. He's one of my heroes. He really, really is. I love Paul because he says this. He has a boast. And then I love it. He says, I can't take any credit for preaching. I'm compelled to preach. But my boast is this. I won't take any money for it. And he could have. I won't be a burden on you. And that was his boast. I think it's a great example, he said. So, the heart of what I want to say this morning, and I believe God is, you know, sharing with me is, oh yeah, the thought came back from previously. In the God chose a people, Israel, okay, to reveal himself to, and to, he entrusted his very word with them. Okay, what a high honor. They used to have to memorize the first four books, was it? Is that right, Andy? Five, thank you. The first five books of the Bible by the time they were 12. All right, they took God's word seriously, didn't they? The older a guy was, the more respect he got. And the wise men, you know what they did? They hung out by the city gates and they discussed and reasoned about God's word. Okay? Is anybody here in an environment where you reason about God's word? Where you reason, explain, and prove? Has anybody been explaining and proving? Is there anything about God's word that you want to reason with someone about, that you want to explain or prove? Or does it just, you just read it, that was interesting, we'll go read some more later, but that's as far as it goes? See, these guys were lit up about God's word. God was revealing truth to them, and they wanted to share it with other people. Jesus said, let your light shine. Okay, they wanted to reason, explain, and prove things. And I think so should we. I think there's a whole community out there just dying, literally, to hear somebody share the good news. What did Paul... Now, Paul had a purpose. He had something he wanted to reason with these people. First of all, what is it he wanted to reason with them?
The gospel.
The gospel. What is the gospel?
The truth.
The truth. Good news. The good news. What's the good news? Exactly. Exactly. And he had to see what he wanted to prove was he had to suffer and be resurrected. Now, why did he have to explain this to the Jews? They've been had a couple thousand years and all this prophecy. This is not new information. It's in Isaiah. What did they have a problem with in this? Okay. Yeah, that was one of the great controversies, the resurrection. What else? Okay, believing what? That Jesus was the Messiah. Why did they have a hard time believing Jesus was the Messiah? No, he was a Jew. The key word's in the text. It like the guy says, all the good stuff's in the text. I'm not trying to trick you. Go ahead. There it is. That Jesus we're going to see.
They didn't believe. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Thank you. Thank you. One of us boys right on that. Marcus, you're a studied man. Thank you. And we should be equipped. We should be equipped. This is the news we carry to people. Do you think the people out there understand this stuff? Was there just Jews in the crowd? No. There were some God-fearing Greeks. That's guys like us. Okay? Did they understand this stuff? No. They needed. Did they need to?
No.
Yes. So that's why Paul was bringing it. Pretty wise guy, isn't it? But there's one key word that he had to suffer. Okay? And they didn't get that. There was a valley of time between the two messiahs. Okay? And they didn't understand that. Okay? That's all right. There's a lot of things we don't understand. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. And that's why we need God's Word. And that's why we need men to reason with us. We need men to explain to us. We need men to prove to us from God's Word what it means. Okay? And we need to let God's Word do the teaching, because it will. I looked up some other words here. I passed right over. Alleging. See, they're really, all the different translations are really saying the same thing. And it's helpful to look at the different perspectives that they say the same things from. The King James, I looked up opening, and it means to open thoroughly, to expound. Okay, and that's what we do. We expound upon the words of God, the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit opens it up thoroughly. And then alleging, check this out what it means. Does anybody know what allege means? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, interesting. Now that's the context we hear it in, isn't it? Allegedly he did this. Well, we don't really know he did it, you know. I mean, that's the con. I think that's what I thought it meant. But listen to what the dictionary says. Alleging, to place alongside. Actually, this is the Greek. To place alongside. Now, what he was doing was he was placing this new revelation alongside the one they already had. Okay, he's going, look, I'm going to place it alongside what you already know. Then it goes further. To present truth. Do we present truth? To deposit for protection. Okay, isn't that what God did with the Jews? He presented the truth. He deposited that with them for protection. And guess what? They protected it well, didn't they? We have it today. Okay? They protected it. The scribes, they took that job seriously. So, and then in the dictionary today, it means to bring forth as a source of authority. Oh, I love that. To bring forth as a source of authority. God's word has authority. I don't really care if you believe it or not. I believe it. It is the authority in my life. I will live according to this authority. I shouldn't say I don't care if you believe it. Let me rephrase that. I do care if you believe it. When I'm sharing the truth with someone who doesn't understand it, I like Paul, am not afraid to be persecuted, misunderstood, by their unbelief, and I'm not going to let that stop me from presenting the truth with authority, because it is authoritative. And Paul knew that. To commend, commit to the... No, that's... I'm back there again. Put forth, set before. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, I think the word allege also is the same word we get allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
I pledge allegiance. Thank you.
Right.
And when he's saying I'm alleging this is the Christ, he's also saying this is where my allegiance
is. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm encouraging you, I hope that you will place your allegiance, see that as your authority.
Absolutely.
Just as I
Oh, yeah. Well, now, I love this. We've heard this word encouraging a lot, haven't we? Okay? Because he is an encourager, isn't he? So was Jesus, right? Full of grace and truth and love, right? So was Paul, big encourager, right? What was the response of his encouragement? Well, some people responded positively, didn't they? Oh, some people felt encouraged. Okay. How did some other people feel? You in the back.
Fear.
Fear, full of fear. Why? It's because it's condemning them. Okay. The word of God, to some is life and a great encouragement, and to some it's death and it's not encouraging at all. Which one are you? When someone speaks the word of God into your life, how do you respond to it? Even a child is judged by his actions, Paul says. How do you respond to the word of God spoken into your life? Does it fill you full of fear? I'll tell you how I say it. It humbles me. I want to tell anybody in this audience, if I say something wrong, if you see my character out of line, I would consider it an honor if you come up and say, hey, Lane, I want to bring this to your attention because I know your heart's desire is to be a godly man. I want to help you in this way because I love you. I would think, wow, thank you. Thank you. I would be humbled. I might be embarrassed. I might have to struggle with those things. But that's what I want my answer to be. Thank you. Because I want to be like Christ. And I need help being that. And he's provided me a body of believers, of brothers and sisters of all varieties to be part of that wonderful process. Okay? And I want to be part of that. Go ahead again.
Yeah. Back to the word authority.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right. Thank you for bringing that up. As I sponsor guys, I sponsor a lot of guys, one of the pastors of my life, I see guys get all worried about getting a job, the requirements of a job. Oh, I got the job. And I love it. Even in the big book, it says we had a new employer being all-powerful. He provided us everything we needed, provided we stayed close to him and performed his work well. Okay? And one of my favorite things in Hebrews is, it's not enough we've been saved. God says it's impossible to please God without faith. For first you must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I want my reward. I'm not embarrassed to say it. God's saying I reward those who earnestly seek me. Beautiful. I'd like a reward. And you know what the reward is? Peace and understanding and faith and courage and dignity and character. Look, I might not have money, I might not have a house, I might not have all these other things I can get, but God has rewarded me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, with the fruit of the Spirit, if I'm willing to receive it and walk according to it. I want that. And what did he say? Earnestly seek him. I'm going to earnestly seek him. Somebody had their hand up, I'm sorry. Yes. Mm-hmm.
A similar story,
yes, sir. Place alongside. Yeah, thank you.
And the other thing is, when we're talking about how people react to stuff, Mark Twain had a famous line about Scripture, and that famous theologian Mark Twain, he said, I'm not troubled by the Scripture that I don't understand. I'm troubled by the Scripture that I do understand.
Exactly. I want to share one of my favorite psalms and one of my favorite examples of a godly man is King David. When I got divorced, when my ex-wife divorced me, and I had experienced a low in my life, I had to reevaluate my understanding of pain. I never knew you could hurt that much. okay? And it drew me closer to God. I had no one else to turn to. And then after months and months and months of crying and of deep pain that nobody could touch, I turned to God as a father. What the Jews couldn't see is that they needed a Savior. They were so steeped in their own accomplishments, in their own understanding of the Word and the legalistic rites that they had expounded upon whole volumes of books. They had worked so hard at this. They didn't want to give that up. It was hard for them to say, I've invested my whole life in this, and you're telling me something completely different, that I need to repent? It would be like Bill Wilson showing up in AA and going, man, you guys need to start your sobriety all over. It's just like you drank. What? I haven't had a drink in 23 years. What are you talking about? I go to meetings every day. I read the book. I sponsor people. I'm into service. I try to imagine what that might be like. Why did they reject this? So they missed the heart condition, didn't they? I think a lot of us miss it today, too. The condition of the heart. Ed and I were having a discussion on this the other night. David didn't miss it. He was God's anointed king. He's, as Ed pointed out, he's the only man that God ever said is after my own heart. What a compliment. Could you imagine God saying that about you? Here is a man who's after my own heart. Wow. That would be a great compliment, wouldn't it, to get from God himself? Let's look at this man who committed adultery and had the man killed after he had 500 wives. See, he got the necessity for a Savior, didn't he? Psalm 51, after he says, surely I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, and your sight alone. And then he goes on to describe who God is and his relation. Then he says, restore me to the joy. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me, God. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. This is the part I'm getting to right here. They were raised on a sacrifice system. Okay? You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. And he was a man who, if you ever read about David, man, he did a lot of sacrificing of animals and all that. He said, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Have you brought a broken spirit to God? A broken and contrite heart? I have. Not out of virtue either, just out of total failure. Total failure. God, I have totally blown it. Without you, I'm nothing. Would you please help me? Would you be my dad? I am so tired of being scared. I'm so tired of posing. I'm so tired of walking around pretending. I can't live like this anymore. Are you real? Do you hear me? Will you help me, please? Guess what? That changed my whole life, just like it changed Paul's life. Okay, I can't stop telling people about Christ. I want to share the good news because it's good news to me. That's how the church grows. Maybe you're, and we all do it differently, don't we? Sure. Sure we do. That's great. Got 3 minutes left. So anyway, I just want to conclude with this.
I got a question.
Okay.
It says here that you walked 100 miles, you got to town, and then they quickly got him out of town. Did he stay long?
Yes. All we hear mentioning of here is, that's a good question. Thank you. All we hear him discussing here is this one issue. Okay? And I haven't memorized this scripture, but I believe Andy will correct me if I'm wrong, hopefully. Paul said, all I'm going to preach is Christ crucified, right? I've determined to preach Christ crucified. This guy had studied his whole life, And you know why I think he said that? Because it's obvious you don't get it. Why go anywhere else? Why teach about all this other doctrine if you're not even responding properly to the simple reality Christ died? See, what I love about AA is this. On the simplest level, we know this. I've been saved. Okay? My sponsor reached out and helped me. And he introduced me to a spiritual way of life. He told me, the proper response to that is to reach out to someone else and share it with them. How could you not? That's the proper understanding. And we do it because we understand it. Nobody has to get us in the headlock. It's like, no, somebody did it for me. I'm going to do it. The proper understanding that Christ died, suffered and died to pay the price for my sin, and the good news of that demands a response. And if we know Jesus at all, he says, let your light shine. Okay? Paul wasn't afraid of the persecution, was he? No. He was serving God. Anyway, I actually finished my message. Thank you. Thank you for letting me say this morning.
Hello.